Good morning, Nathan. How are you?
Good morning. Good. How are you doing?
I'm doing very well. Nathan sent me an email late last night talking about a story that is in today's Detroit News detailing another $129 million coming to Michigan to assist unemployed homeowners avoid foreclosure. Talk about that story.
Well, this is an extension of an earlier program that the Department of Treasury and Housing and Urban Development Department had put together. Basically, some of the foreclosure avoidance tactics that the federal and state officials had looked at before to keep homeowners from going through foreclosure had really focused on at states where foreclosure rates were high. Of course, Michigan, we counted. And were in that first round. The second round of funding that they announced yesterday was targeted at high unemployment states. Well, Michigan also accounted for that. So we ended up getting almost $300 million in total with this new money to help people avoid foreclosure. And this is a big big thing that the administration really wants to focus on because. You know, as you know, foreclosures have really dragged down the economy, and any economist will say that until we get the foreclosure situation cleaned up, the economy just really can't come back. So at this point, that's really what the administration wants to focus on to make sure that they can get these foreclosures stopped and hopefully provide a better base for the economy to recover.
Nathan, where is the money to pay for this going to come from?
No. This is interesting because, you know, we're hearing about this financial reform bill and no one, there really was, it was kind of unclear how any of the penalty money that big banks were going to be paying, how any of that was going to flow back to consumers. This is one of the first programs that's actually funded by the Wall Street reform bill. So this is actually being funded by fees that are levied on the banks that received TARP bailout money in 2008 and 2009. So this is where they're paying that money back, and they're now paying fees on top of that. And so now that money is being used for foreclosure prevention efforts.
Who's responsible for getting these monies into the state? Is it our senators? Is it our congressmen? Whose efforts got this money to the state?
A number of people. Really, this was this legislation was crafted in the Senate for the most part. And Carl Levin, our senator from Detroit, he really helped craft the bill and a lot of the consumer protections in there. So you know, while he didn't decide the amount of money perhaps that Michigan was getting, he was certainly key in getting that. In getting that provision that would drive money to the state.
And in another story that we initially were going to talk about, which was in yesterday's Detroit News, Fed aid bill saves 4,700 teachers' jobs in Michigan. The state of Michigan gets $698 million for education and Medicaid. Talk about that.
Now this one is a lot more controversial. This was the bill that the House was brought back from their summer break by Nancy Pelosi to vote on, and it was portrayed by Democrats as a very important emergency spending bill. Republicans absolutely rejected that that notion from the get-go. And really dug in their heels and said this is unnecessary spending. We should be looking to rein in spending, not be spending more. They framed it as a bailout for teachers because basically what this money is going for, it's going to go and plug budget holes in states where they, you know, were hoping to expand the number of teachers or avoid layoffs. This is going to go in and plug the hole for a year until states can see just how bad damage on property tax and income tax income is going to be for the next year. It's, you know, Michigan does stand to get $700 million, but you also have a number of Republicans from the state, Dave Camp, Pete Hoekstra, Candace Miller, And they said, you know, we really think that this is too much spending right now. I talked to Pete Hoekstra yesterday, and he was very disappointed in the bill. He, you know, the Republicans from Michigan say that they support the public education, but that they're really concerned about the deficit right now. And you know, Democrats said that they have gotten this bill paid for by making reductions in food stamp and the food stamp program, yet they've already committed to making sure that the cuts in the food stamp program don't go through. So it's not a deficit neutral bill, and that really had Republicans from Michigan worried.
And Nathan, before I let you go, that was going to be my final question. We hear talk from the Republicans quite a bit about this, but not a lot from the Democrats, and there's that age-old struggle, if you will, tug of war, that the Republicans say the Democrats are spending all this money, but they don't have a way to pay for it. Is there going to be a time, in your estimation, where the Democratic side of both aisles in the Senate and with the House of Representatives start addressing the budget deficit?
Well, I think that they're definitely, there are Democrats that are feeling that pressure more than others. I would say, for example, you've got people like Gary Peters, he's in the 9th district outside of Detroit. You know, he's really fighting for his seat right now to keep it. He's a freshman that came in a Democrat on the Obama wave in 08. And, you know, he's really had to pitch himself as a fiscal hawk, and he's done that. He's on the President's Deficit Reduction Commission, and he's proposed a lot of spending cuts. But there was a piece in the Hill newspaper, I think 2 days ago, about Peters and some other fiscally conservative Democrats who've actually proposed, you know, billions in spending cuts, but then has gotten reprimanded by the Democratic leadership. So while I think that Democrats have definitely, you know, they've realized that they do need to be more sensitive to the calls for deficit reduction, there's also still, just in the party itself, there is still a culture of spending that has definitely made it more difficult for the Democrats who do want to be more fiscally conservative to actually make the cuts they need to do. So that's been an interesting dynamic, especially for some of these Democrats representing districts that are really on the bubble between red and blue. Like,
all right,
Gary
Nathan,
Peters.
I got to get to break. You can read Nathan's stories at detnews.com. Thanks, Nathan.
Yeah, absolutely. Thank you, Tony.